The Military Exchange Talk Show is a faith-based organization that attends to veterans' spiritual needs in areas of veteran health and wellness. We will talk candidly about veteran issues and how they relate to God's Word. This is your show to speak what's on your hearts and minds. I'm only here to facilitate truth and logic to my brothers and sisters who are on active duty, reserves, and veterans that have served this great country by putting themselves at risk on the front lines of freedom. So join me in a new way of thinking and healing and advocating for our men and women who need you, the veteran, even more today to be leaders in your own communities, to be godly parents, skillful workers, to be an example of citizenry with morals and ethos, and a true and loyal friend to the military veteran. Welcome to the Military Exchange Talk Show, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. You know, it's an Irish day. St. Patrick's Day was this past Thursday, but it's always an Irish day in the Marine Corps and our military. But let me tell you, the Marine Corps bleeds green sometimes. At one point in the Marine Corps' history, 85% of the Marine Corps was Irish. I have for you today the Green Machine, a toast, an Irish Road March prayer that was read at the Marine Corps ball in Washington. They got a hold of it and they called me personally. They said, "Corporal Tim Thornton, we want to read your prayer for road marching, humping the Marine Corps grunt style." The Green Marines, a toast to the green. And then, near the end of the show, Patricus, the true story of St. Patrick. But somewhere right in the middle, we did a personal interview with Patrick Duane, the actor and director, producer of The Accidental Hero, a play that is playing right now, this very weekend. As you hear this show, you could go and get tickets and take your family to The Accidental Hero, played at the Downstairs Cabaret Theater. Later in the show, you'll catch their soundbite where they talk about where you can call and what phone number and all of that great stuff. But everybody knows the Downstairs Cabaret Theater in Rochester. Patrick is the grandson of the greatest generation in the world. World War II, his grandfather, living in America, joined the military, went to World War II, and became the first guy through the village of where his grandfather was from and freed them from Nazi oppression. And now Patrick has that play that he's produced, and they've called him back to the theater. He's been here in Rochester now 11 times. He plays all over the country, and wait for it, he does this play in Czechoslovakia, in his grandfather's hometown, and they have a plaque of his grandfather right there in the square. This guy is a true legacy of a true World War II hero. Downstairs Cabaret Theater, later in the show, we're going to have the interview with Patrick Duane, and I urge you to enjoy that. Wait for it. You're going to love the interview with the Accidental Hero. And because I'm Irish, and it's St. Patrick's Day, when you hear this message, tell them Corporal Tim Thornton sent you, and you get 10% off all day, today, this Saturday. And if you're hearing this show on other channels and other networks on Sunday, just tell them Corporal Tim Thornton said, I get 10% off because I'm a listener. So first up, the Highland Laddie, the Baron Rex of Aden. I just did that with my German accent. That didn't work out too well. The Highland Laddie, the Baron Rex of Aden. It's still German. Forget about it. Anyways, picture an Irish brogue, and we're going to play some real Irish music for you. The Highland Laddie and St. Patrick's song done with Scottish and Irish bagpipes. I can't get out of the German mode. Whatever. Top of the morning to you. And Aaron, go get your bra. For God's sake. And Aaron, Go get your bra on. Oh. A poem written by Corporal Timothy Thornton, an Irish Marine's Road March Prayer. May all your humps be downhill, and may all your packs be filled with helium. May the wind and the sun be at your back. May the blessed corpsman have plenty of Motrin and Moleskine. May your canteens be filled with cool water, but taste like the devil's brew. May your stride be in step with the long-legged bastard in front of you, and every power nap gives you the strength of 10 gung-ho Grinches. Hoorah, devil dogs! Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, Red, White, and Blue, the A flag. The American flag. The flag that is flown above every rooftop to guide on. Battleships, camps, forts, and fops. The American flag bears the crimson color of blood that has kept our flag as pure as the white bars that flank the blue field of honor. The Military Exchange is proud to present Valley Forge American-made flags. 100% American-made, real issue. We sell flags by the military branch, unit, or division. Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, National Guard, Marine Corps. We sell flag poles, mounts, and display cases. Show your pride. Display your branch proudly with a flag from Valley Forge. The Gadsden, Don't Tread on Me flag and decals. Perfect for the conservative New Yorker. Join the military culture that is the Military Exchange. Located in Canandaigua, New York, check out our weekly video broadcast of our radio show at IronMikesMX.com. Hello. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, the owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Over the past 20 years, I have personally searched out vintage clothing, uniforms, antiques. I like to collect all things military. I am just now willing to let go parts of my collection. We have a line of hand-picked vintage collectibles, World War I to present day. Vintage is a great way to give yourself a unique look. Ladies and gentlemen, add a little vintage to your wardrobe. What I like about vintage is the quality of material. Cotton, wool, leather, all at its very best. Different texture, design, and old school patterns that fit the way they should fit on a man or woman. The Military Exchange is your home for vintage clothing and collectibles. For your viewing pleasure, please go to my website, IronMikesMX.com, and see our video and pictures of vintage collectibles. Welcome back to the Military Exchange. This is Corporal Tim Thornton. Sound off. Should veterans observe a public code of conduct? If you agree or disagree, you can email us at combatradio@yahoo.com. At the same political rally where young recruit Joseph Pryor lost his chance to be a Marine, discussed here last week, and an unidentified older man in a Korean War Veterans Association uniform was filmed shoving and taunting a young black woman. Shea Nwanguma, a student at the University of Louisville, was there to protest a candidate, Donald Trump. The man got in her face. Get out of here. We don't want you here. Various news outlets have said the man is 75 years old, but military.com reporting points out that would make him 9 years old when the conflict began in 1950. So we've got a situation. Maybe it's a case of sloppy reporting, and we've got a remarkably spry 85-year-old veteran yelling at a woman almost young enough to be his great-granddaughter. Or we've possibly got a guy who's pretending to be a Korean War veteran acting out in public. And it's the acting out in public that's the issue. check out the code of conduct posted on the Korean War Veterans website. Korean War Veterans Association Code of Conduct. I will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. I will adhere to the national bylaws of the KWVA, my department, and my chapter. I will not engage in any unlawful or unethical conduct, nor attempt to deceive in any manner my chapter, my department, or the national KWVA. I will fulfill my obligations and will be responsible for my actions to the chapter, department, and national organization of the KWVA. I will render service and comfort to bereaved families of fellow veterans in time of need to the best of my ability. I will respect the rights of others in regard to politics, sex, race, religion, and ethnic background. I will hold an open mind to the thoughts and opinions of others in any discussion or problem. I will at all times conduct myself with proper decorum and dignity, and while a member of the KWVA, will commit no act or actions that would dishonor the KWVA, our flag, or our country. So here's the question. Do veterans owe the military a certain level of behavior in public when their clothing and uniform identifies their connection to the armed forces? Does this kind of behavior make veterans look bad? Should this guy have to explain himself? Sound off. CombatRadio@yahoo.com or call in on next week's Wednesday night live talk show at bbsradio.com. Go to my main site, ironmikesmx.com, and look for the 800 number. Call us. Should you, wearing a veteran's uniform, part of the VFW, the American Legion, the DAV, the Marine Corps League, Patriot Guard Riders, if you're identifying yourself as a group, as a veteran, connected to a branch of military that you served in, should you obey this example of a code of conduct? I'd really like to hear what you have to say. Welcome back to the Military Exchange. I'm your host, Corporal Timothy Thornton. Leatherneck, a toast to the green. March 17th is a great day for the Irish. They make a big deal out of being Irish, and rightly so, they're a proud people. If there's one thing Marines know and understand, it is pride. If you doubt the pride of the Irish on St. Patrick's Day, walk into Paddy's Bar, order a green draft, then raise the brew to a toast to the English. I'm probably a little Irish. Hell, why not? Seems I'm a little bit of everything else. And so this month, we celebrate and salute the Irish. Ironic, isn't it, that we make such a case out of being Irish on the 17th, and the rest of the year, we get wrapped up in our own problems. Sure, we read about their problems in Northern Ireland. I imagine they know now how America became involved in the Vietnam fighting. How about the Irish? Well, how about the Poles and the Swedes and the Jews and Africans, Indians and Scots, and all the rest? Why do people make such a thing out of the Irish on March 17th when other similar days pass almost unnoticed? There's an American Indian Day, Fourth Friday in September, and there are days set aside for General Pulaski, October 11th, General Von Steuben, September 17th, and Martin Luther King, January 15th. There's a day set aside in Minnesota for Susan B. Anthony, a pioneer in the women's lib movement. Certainly the pride of the Indians, Poles, Germans, Blacks, and women is as strong as the pride of the Irish, or is it? Nearly everyone claims an Irish bloodline around this time of year. Even those not Irish try to find a reason for hoisting a cool one, toasting the old sod. Yet they don't pretend to have Negro blood or Indian blood or Polish blood. They don't smile and say, "Well, there goes the neighborhood," when an O'Reilly moves into the apartment next door. They don't whisper about a man being spick and span when he gets dutted up. No one cares if he pulls a Scots and misses his turn at the tab for a round of drafts. I've yet to hear someone say that a man gets as wild as a drunken Irishman, although the Irish capacity for fine whiskey is legendary. Do you remember when a Jew served as mayor of Dublin? It's true. Ever meet a Black O'Shea? It's possible. So what's the point? A man is soul and heart in strength and weakness. He is tender and cruel and coarse and smooth. He is loved and hated, respected and loathed. A man is born and sinew. He may be strong in muscle, weak in mind, vice versa, or a combination. Such is man. Made in the image of God, man sees and feels and thinks. He creates and he ruins. His power is awesome. Man is one of many questioning, searching, probing, discovering, misplacing, praying, cursing, boasting, and forgiving. Man is black, white, red, yellow, brown, or a combination of two or more. He believes, he disbelieves, he makes believe. Some live to forget, others forget to live. Some love to live, others live to love. Some are prejudiced, while others try so hard to prove they are not prejudiced that they become intolerant against their own kind. Some serve their God, their country, their core. Others forget what they swore to uphold. Others swear, cursing a life they themselves created, chartered, and then destroyed. But a man is capable of rising. He may be down from dope or drink. He may be kneeling in prayer or shooting craps. He may be stooped to aid a child or stooped in pain or hunger, but he can rise. And man can climb, hand over hand, trembling, clawing, bleeding, pulling himself out of the depths of ignorance, prejudice, poverty, deprivation, and sickness, and the color of his skin or his accent. A hand reaches out for help, another hand responds, then another and still another. Who cares if the hands are black or white or green or blue? When man needs help, man responds. No one asks, why, black man? How come, chief? Say hey, Polak. Does this take a war to unite us? Are we really so different, you and I? Will man's superior strength and intelligence squash itself in a mob riot at Lejeune or Pendleton or Four Corners? Damn shame if it happens. What will it prove? Black superiority or white supremacy? Who loses? Not the whites or the blacks, because a battle won must be fought elsewhere, and the battle strives to overturn a past defeat into a glowing victory. Black words on white paper, white words on black paper, they mean little if unread. But if all were black and all were white, what a colorless, drab world this would be. It takes a black, a red, a yellow, and a white combined to make this Marine Corps what it is. The greatest force in readiness the world has ever known. Call it the Green Machine, if you will. This month, we toast the Irish, and that's as it should be. And as the glasses of Ripple, beer, and whiskey are raised, and a velvet-tongued spokesman recalls the countless Irish toasts and witty sayings, recall, if you haven't participated in too many toasts, a bit of Shakespeare from Henry V. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. The Marine Corps has survived greater threats than racism during the past two centuries. But the Corps is strongest, most efficient, when all members of the team combined their efforts in a single cause. Think about it, Marine. Think about it. And those of you at home, think about it. My name is Tim Thornton. I'm a former corporal of the Marines, owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. I want to talk to you about something that is damn important. 22 vets commit suicide daily by their own hands. That's 8,000 a year. That's two regiments that are gone forever. We as a nation are failing them. I don't have an ice bucket, and I'm not asking you to write a check. But what I am challenging you to do is to pick up a phone and call a combat vet. That voice, that friendly voice on the other end of the phone, might just change that tragic day forever. I'm going to make that call right now.
Hello?
Is this Steve?
Yeah. Corporal Tim, what's up?
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Not much.
Hey, hang on a minute. I want to talk to you today. So if you're at home, pick up the phone, call a combat vet, show him you care. Hey, man, what are you up to?
Not much. Just hanging out. How you doing?
Good. I just thought I'd give you a call. Veterans Outreach Center, 447 South Avenue, Rochester, New York. What's a battle buddy? A battle buddy is a mentor. He's a friend. Camaraderie, service after service, veterans networking through recreational opportunities. Be a mentor to another veteran. Help them get through that hard part of their life when they first get out of the service and they need an older vet, another guy, another woman to help them succeed. You can do that as a battle buddy through the Veterans Outreach Center, and I urge you to contact my friend, Sean Smith, 585-295-7821. Sean is a highly motivated friend of the veteran. He's a veteran, and he cares, and he is high speed, low drag, the kind of motivated guy that you want to be around. And they do all these cool outdoor activities. So why are you waiting? Pick up the phone, ask for Sean Smith, 585 area code 295-7821. Not every place you go is a great hangout for veterans. But how about a place that's only veterans? Men and women, the Hangout. Veterans Outreach Center is hosting its bi-monthly hangout. Come capture a feeling of camaraderie with fellow veterans, both men and women, coming together to share coffee, snacks, and stories. First and last Tuesday of every month, 2 to 3 p.m., 459 South Avenue in the parlor. Veterans Outreach Center, the Hangout, and tell them Corporal Tim Thornton sent you.
I came home on leave and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Good morning, America, and all the ships at sea. This is Corporal Tim Thornton from the Military Exchange Talk Show. Have you ever wanted to voice your opinion on today's issues? Veterans and patriots, do you have something to say? Well, I'm the facilitator, and it's your show. Call our live talk show every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. For details, go to themilitaryexchange.com. Weekends, check out our shows on this channel, 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. Sunday mornings from the Military Exchange Talk Show.
It's always fair weather when hep cats get together, and every time they meet, here's the way you'll hear them greet. Reet! A hubba hubba hubba.
Hello, Dad.
Well, a hubba hubba hubba. I just got back.
Patrick, Tim from the Military Exchange Talk Show. How are you, sir?
Good. Good. Yourself?
Except for the fact that I am the worst Skype caller in history.
No problem.
I can't tell you. I'm looking at your number, and it called Andy because I called him previously, and then it was also calling my wife, and they're both going, call Patrick, please. So,
all right, let's jump into it. I'm on in 19 minutes, so.
All right, so the important part, Pat, is this is actually a real life history for your family. You're the son of the grandson of the gentleman who, in World War II, was a descendant from a Czechoslovakian village, and he went to war and wound up being one of the guys that went to that town and freed them.
Right, right. He was actually the first one in his mother's family's hometown, a little town of 400 people called Clinchy.
And
he was the commander of the advance party, and he got that role because he spoke fluent Czech. Czech was his first language growing up on a farm in Wisconsin. So when they got to the border, the advance party got to the border 200 miles ahead of the rest of the division, he decided that he was going to cross in just to snoop around. And that's when he stumbled on the meeting of the local resistance. They'd never seen an American before. He walks in. They don't know what's going on. Then he starts speaking in Czech, and they can't believe it. And then he tells them they're free. So then they started saying, we're liberated by one of our own, and they made him into a bit of a folk hero.
And they liberated him from the what, the Nazis?
From the Nazis, exactly. Yeah.
Because some of those... Well, some of them got taken by the Nazis and then retaken by the Russians.
Yeah, not Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia was the first country that Hitler stole, and it would be one of the last liberated. The Americans liberated about one-fifth of the country. The Russians liberated the rest of the country. But then when the communists took power in 1948 in a military coup, they made it illegal to talk about the Americans' role in the liberation of Czechoslovakia. The communists lied and made everybody say that the Russians only liberated them, much to my grandfather's chagrin, because he was there when it happened. He knew, he became friends then with all these Czechs because he had the language.
Wow. What unit was he with, do you know?
Yeah, the 2nd Infantry Division. He's a lieutenant colonel.
With the big Indian head.
That's exactly right. And the town of Pilsen, Czech Republic, which Pilsner beer, that's where that name comes from. Their hockey team, the professional hockey team, has as its logo the Indian head, the same logo as the 2nd Infantry Division. Because when they came in to liberate them, it really grabbed their imagination. And then after the Russians... left, and they got their freedom in 1989, they made the Indian head their logo.
that right there, that's no coincidence, obviously.
No, they did it. They're very forgiving of America's warts. They know the alternatives. They were under the Nazis. They're under the Russians. They still look west with great hope and admiration.
Yep. I actually have had the Czech Army in here twice in my store, the military exchange, and they come to Rochester. I get to see foreign militaries all the time, but they come in here to train with Harris Corp down in Rochester.
Huh.
And I'm on like the bus tour for whenever a new army comes into town.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've actually sold some boots and things like that to the army that comes in. And I know I've helped out with the guys' uniforms and gear that are fighting to keep Russia out of Czech right now.
Oh yeah,
I've had some relatives of freedom fighters.
I've got a lot of Czech friends who'd love to go to your store. They are collectors of U.S. Army memorabilia, and then also one of them is he does survival training in preparation for if Putin should get a little uppity.
Well, there's some very tough people. And there's a lot that come in. I've met a lot of American ones, too, that are descendants or been, you know, naturalized citizens over here. So, Pat, tell me something on an inside scoop that your grandfather told you when he went in, something that nobody else knows.
Well, he didn't tell me anything. He wouldn't talk about it. It wasn't until we found his long-lost writings 20 years after he died. Well, what I didn't... Here's something I found out when I was in Pilsen just a few years ago. There was this woman who's now in her 80s, who my grandfather was a pen pal with in the 1970s, and she gave me a stack of his letters. Now, they weren't love letters, but at the same time, he was complaining about my grandmother in his letters, so...
So they were...
So there's a scoop.
Well, he had a sympathetic ear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. When he grew up on the farm in Wisconsin, he was made fun of because of his accent and because of his heritage. He wanted to become a real American, whatever that is. And he saw that his route to that was in the Army, and then it turns out the last week of the war, the thing that he felt made him different and not American is exactly what his Army needed from him, which was his ability to speak Czech so he could go in ahead of the rest of the division. And his ability to speak Czech saved all kinds of lives, Czech lives, German lives, too, because it was a powder keg. They'd been under the Nazis for 6 years, and then they wanted to kill anybody that spoke German. So they followed the rules of war at the end. The Russians didn't. That's why the Germans surrendered en masse to the Americans, not to the Russians. So he came back then with a much different understanding and appreciation for his own background. That yes, he's American, but that the Czech was always a mystery to him, more than that mystery was revealed at the end of the war. Kind of, it's Luke Skywalker, except it really happened. You know, Luke's fighting against the dark forces, thinks he's just another soldier in the war, and then suddenly it becomes about his identity. That was my grandfather's experience, and it changed him. Although he didn't talk about it. None of us knew any of this. I was sent pictures of him carried on the shoulders of the people of Domažlice from Czech friends. They knew who he was, but we in the family had no idea what had happened.
Isn't it amazing what the world's what do we call it, the biggest, our best generation ever, World War II vets, and they never want to share these amazing stories that would, they would make us idolize them. They would be our heroes if we knew stuff like that.
Right.
And the world's greatest generation almost never gives up half of these stories.
Right. He wrote them down. He was in the furnace room of his basement on his Remington manual typewriter, chain smoking his Camel Straights, writing down what had happened to him. With no plans to publish it, he just wanted it to be known. And then my sister found it 20 years after he died. And it's the basis for my show. He also had a movie camera with him, and I've digitized his color film, black and white film. He had a Kodak 8mm camera, and was taking footage of World War II. Can you believe that? Can you imagine how I felt when I'm watching this film that he did with in his hand? It was amazing.
It's not only amazing, but it's almost probably beyond the odds that you would ever actually get a hold of all of this stuff. Pat, I know it's your grandpa, but if this is your play, and then you put it together, and now you're on your 11th return to, like, the Rochester area?
That's correct. Rochester's been just a great home away from home for me. I just did it last weekend in Madison, Wisconsin. The weekend before that, I was in New Ulm, Minnesota. So I've been able to do it in about 100 other places. I do it in the Czech Republic every year too. Each of the last 5 years, I'll be going there this May. They're making my grandfather an honorary Czech citizen posthumously.
That's nice. So you're probably pretty popular over there.
I've got a lot of friends. They are very, very warm, and they are grateful for America, what we believe in. When I was there last year, the ambassador to the Czech Republic, Ambassador Shapiro, said, I thought he said it beautifully. He said, when this army came to Czechoslovakia, it didn't come to take resources. It didn't come to take territory. It came just with one thing, an idea, freedom. We brought freedom, and then we left. And it was the first time in the Czechs, 300 years of troubled history, that a conquering army came in and then said, okay, you're now free. It's up to you how this place gets run. So that's why my friends are so crazy about my grandfather's story. And it's humbling for me to think about it and then to be able to go and share it. They know what freedom means because they didn't have it. You know, I can talk about hunger, but I've never had, you know, days on end where there's nothing in my belly. They know they've had years on end where they did not have freedom. Every single family over there has horror stories of life under the communists and under the Nazis. I have gotten a view of the world and a view of my own country that I could only get by going over there and getting to know them and hear their stories.
That's
been just very moving for me.
They've lived it, and we might get a chance in our lifetime to just barely experience it. You know, you experience a little hunger, you experience some loss of freedom, but these people lived it. They lived the loss of freedom.
Day after day, yes, they did. And when I do the story over there, they know that I know what their pain was, that they didn't have freedom. And it just is this wave of energy from them. And many of them just, they're it's beyond words, you know. They just come up with tears in their eyes and thank me. The mayor of Domažlice, Czech Republic, Miroslav Mach, he loves the show. There's a plaque to my grandfather in the main square of his town now because of this story. They're very grateful. They look to America. They look to us with a great deal of hope and admiration.
That's great, Patty. You really do have a great story to tell. Can you tell all my listeners where you're playing tonight and how they can come out and see the play?
Sure. I'm at the Downstairs Cabaret at Wooden Place, and I'm here tonight. In fact, I'm just about to go on at 7 o'clock, and then I'm performing Friday, tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday. I believe tomorrow's at 8 o'clock, but it's the Downstairs Cabaret Theater. You go to their website. I don't have their number, but we'd love for you to come and bring your stories, because at the end of the show, we always have it's an amazing 30-minute conversation about things. It's a channel for people to talk and think about things that otherwise might go unsaid, but need to be said. They're the real things, the important things, and this show gives us an opportunity to think about that and to talk about it.
That's awesome, Pat. This is Pat DeWayne, actor and real-life person who's the history, the generation of the greatest generation that helped free Czechoslovakia. Thanks, Pat, very much for being on our show, and I urge everybody to go out and see this this play. I believe it's probably award-winning. I know it's beautiful. Write up on it in the paper.
Yes, yes. And tell me that you heard about it on the show. This is a great show. It's wonderful that you do the show. But come on out, and we'll continue the conversation after the end of the performance.
Good. Hope I see you there at the 2 o'clock Sunday performance.
Fabulous. I hope so, too.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you. Break a leg.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home. Use pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's, the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation of the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
The Green Marines by John Keenan. I have written in a previous editorial that one of my drill instructors had strongly averred that there was only one color in the Marine Corps, and that was Marine Green. Often we have heard the Corps referred to as the Green Machine or Mother Green. I fully subscribe to my old DI's philosophy that as we celebrate the diversity of our Corps, I sometimes feel that one ethnic group in particular has made tremendous contributions to our Corps and country, but yet has been given short shrift, the Irish American. Normally, I am not a fan of hyphenated definitions of American, but since it is March and the under-celebrated Irish American History Month, I thought I might provide some historical perspectives on the Corps and the Irish who flocked to the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor in great numbers. Our hymn has the line, "To the shores of Tripoli," and that line in the hymn is a direct result of the actions of Lieutenant Presley O'Bannon in the First Barbary War against the Barbary Pirates and O'Bannon's long march and successful attack on Derna. Today, every Marine officer wears a Mameluke sword in commemoration of his courage, initiative, and leadership. The virtues that O'Bannon exemplified were exhibited earlier in the Revolutionary War by Lieutenant Edward Stack, a native of County Kerry, Ireland. Serving on the Bonham Richard under John Paul Jones, Stack's skillful and courageous use of Marines to clear the decks of HMS Serapis handed the day to the Americans. Jones credited Stack with providing the margin of victory. Although courage on the battlefield is not the lone purview of the Irish American Marines, they have exhibited it out of proportion to their numbers. As of 2009, there have been 257 Irish-born servicemen who have been awarded the Medal of Honor. That is by far the most of any foreign-born group of recipients. Of the 3,464 medals awarded, 2,018 have been awarded to Irish Americans. That is more than twice as many as any other group. Of the three Marines who have been awarded the Medal of Honor twice, two were of Irish descent, Sergeant Major Dan Daly and Corporal Joseph Kelly. During the Civil War, two Marines, Sergeant Michael Hudson and Sergeant James Martin II, were awarded the Medal of Honor for courage and under fire during the Battle of Mobile Bay on August 5, 1864. One served on the USS Brooklyn and the other on the USS Richmond. In the Vietnam War, the first Marine to be awarded the Medal of Honor was Corporal Robert O'Malley from Queens, New York. His childhood friend and schoolmate, Lance Corporal Thomas Noonan, was also awarded the Medal of Honor. Our Corps has been led by only one native-born Irishman, Anthony Gale. As Commandant, he was subsequently court-martialed. Without going into all the sordid details, there are those of us who believe he was set up by Archibald Henderson and the No nothing party. Subsequent to Gale, Sons of Aaron have done a remarkable job at the helm of the Corps. General P.X. Kelly and General James Conway come to mind. And there is no doubt that the former CMC, General Joseph Dunford Jr., will excel. So I hope you will indulge me as I take pride in the Irish Americans who have served our Corps and country and celebrate the diversity that we say makes our Corps stronger. There are a lot of stereotypes that are hurled against the Irish, but one thing is true, we love a good fight, especially while fighting under the stars and stripes and the eagle, globe, and anchor. Welcome to the chapel, and I am your chaplain, Corporal Tim Thornton. Patricus, the true story of St. Patrick. Before all the festivities focused on shamrocks and leprechauns and good luck wishes, there was truly something to celebrate, a man willing to stand in the gap for Jesus Christ. Reporter David Kithart reveals the inspiring true story behind this courageous and fervent Irishman we all know as St. Patrick. It was an act of defiance that changed the course of a nation. Patrick lit a fire in pagan 5th century Ireland, ushering Christianity into the country. Who was this man who became the patron saint of Ireland? Ireland was a beautiful island shrouded in terrible darkness. Warlords and druids ruled the land. But across the sea in Britain, a teenager was poised to bring this nation to God. Patrick was born into a Christian family, says Philip Freeman, author of St. Patrick of Ireland. His father was a deacon, his grandfather a priest. But Patrick says that from a near early age, he didn't have any serious interest in religion, and that he was practically an atheist when he was a teenager. Around 400 AD, Patrick was abducted from his village and thrown into a slave ship headed for Ireland. He saw that as God chastising him, first of all, says Reverend Sean Brady, that was the first view, he said. We deserved what we got. We're carried at 16 years of age over to this foreign land. Patrick was sold to a chieftain named Milchu. He spent 6 years tending his master's flocks on the slopes of the Slemish Mountain. Patrick recounts his time as a slave in his memoir entitled The Confession. He says, I prayed 100 times in the day and almost as many at night, says Reverend Brady, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Armagh and primate of all of Ireland. Through that experience of prayer and trial, he came to know another God, God the Father, who was his protector. He came to know Jesus Christ in those sufferings. And he came to be united with Christ, and he came to identify with Christ, and then, of course, also the Holy Spirit. One night, during a time of prayer and fasting, Patrick wrote, I heard in my sleep a voice saying to me, it is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country. And again, after a short while, I heard a voice saying to me, see, your ship is ready. Patrick escaped and traveled 200 miles cross country to the west coast. He found a ship ready to sail, but was refused passage. After a desperate prayer, he was allowed on board. Patrick eventually returned to his home and family. His experience on God's grace and provision solidified his faith. He began to study for the ministry. Freeman says one night he had a dream. Thee was a man who came from Ireland with a whole bunch of letters. And he opened up one of the letters and it said, the voice of the Irish. And then he heard a voice coming out of this letter that said, holy boy, please return to us. We need you. Patrick struggled in his soul. Could he return to Ireland and minister to the same people who had enslaved him? Once again, he turned to God in prayer. He received the answer in a dream. He talks about how he, in this dream, is trying to pray and yet he can't. says Freeman. So he hears a voice coming from inside of him, which he realizes is the voice of God praying for him. Patrick knew he had to go and convince his church that he was called to be a missionary to Ireland. He set sail in a small ship. Patrick landed at the mouth of the Slaney River. When Patrick set foot on this shore, a new era dawned on this Ireland. The Ireland of his day really wasn't much different from the Ireland of a few years ago, here where we are sitting here at this moment, notes Most Reverend Dr. Robert Ames. Church of England, Archbishop of Armagh, and Primate of all Ireland, it was an Ireland of tribalism, an Ireland of war, an Ireland of suspicion, an Ireland of violence and death. Here he came as a virtual stranger to this country of warring factions. They worshiped multiple gods of the sky and the earth and the water, he says. And so that was his first challenge, to convince the Irish that there was only one God and that his God really did love them. Patrick came face to face with the chieftains and their druid priest. The showdown came on the morning of his first Easter in Ireland. Monsignor Raymond Murray, parish priest of Cookstown in Northern Ireland, explains further. Part of the pagan worship of fall to spring from the beginning of the summer was that a fire was lit, and first of all, the fire on the hill of Tara, and no other lights at all in Ireland. The monastery on the hill of Slane is where Patrick, in direct defiance of the High King of Tara, lit a forbidden fire. Notes Reverend Brady, he was summoned before the king, and he explained that he wasn't a threat because he was bringing the new light, the light of Christ, the Savior of the world, the light of the world. The first light of Easter Day was dawning. Patrick brought the hope of Easter Day to Ireland, says Reverend Eames. The weather can be absolutely brutal in Ireland, but just imagine how it must have been for Patrick in the 5th century as he trekked across the countryside bringing the gospel to the pagan Celts. People sometimes made fun of him because he said that God often gave him a message. There was danger ahead, said Freeman. But, he said, laugh at me if you will. This is something that has protected me in Ireland. Listen to Patrick's poem of faith and trust in God, the breastplate. Christ be within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ inquired, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friends and stranger. Myths and legends have grown up around this hero of Ireland. As Monsignor Murray explains, it is sometimes difficult to describe the truan aspect of God. So according to the story, to better illustrate the central teachings of the Trinity, Patrick took a shamrock and pointed out the three leaves on it. Interestingly, it is only in Ireland that you find this shamrock. Therefore, the people believed. One of the famous legends, of course, is that Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland, says Irish historian Harold Calvert. In fact, any snakes in Ireland had disappeared during the Ice Age. The legend about the driving out of the snakes may, in fact, really symbolize the driving out of evil, says Calvert. In 432 AD, Patrick built a church on the site of the present-day St. Patrick's Memorial Church in Saul, the first ever Christian church in all of Ireland. It's considered the cradle of Irish Christianity. Preaching the gospel, of course, baptizing converts, confirming them, appointing clergy, continues Calvert. Patrick's ministry lasted 29 years. He baptized over 120,000 Irishmen and planted 300 churches. What Patrick did was really lay the groundwork for Christianity, says Freeman. To this day, no one knows where Patrick is buried. Many believe that it is somewhere beneath the church on the hill at Down Cathedral. Reverend Sean Brady concludes, he was a man who came to face and help his former enemies who had enslaved him. He came back to help them and to do them a great favor, the greatest favor he possibly could. Reverend Earns concurs, I honestly feel that what Patrick taught Ireland was that there is a cost to discipleship, but it's a cost worth paying. And I believe to bring this right up to date, the Church of St. Patrick must be constantly saying to people, discipleship demands of you, but it's a cost that Christ will help you to pay. Can God change your life? God has made it possible for you to know Him and experience an amazing change in your own life. Discover how you can find peace with God. You can also send us your prayer request, combatradio@yahoo.com. God bless. Farewell. Amen.
Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
What are the chances that an American who was raised speaking Czech on a farm in the United States ends up in World War II liberating the very same towns where his grandparents had once lived? It's the story of the hero's journey, right out of mythology, except in this case, it actually happened. My grandfather entered the war at Omaha Beach, and he was a hero in the Battle of the Bulge. He thought he was just another soldier fighting against Hitler's Germany until the last week of the war, when it became very personal about him and his Czech identity.
Back by popular demand, The Accidental Hero will be playing March 17th through March 20th at the Downstairs Cabaret Theater at Winton Place in Brighton. Discounts are available for seniors, students, military, and veterans, and tickets are free for all World War II veterans. More information can be found at downstairscabaret.com or by calling 585-325-4370. That's 585-325-4370.
You've been listening to the Military Exchange Talk Show, brought to you by the Marine Corps League Detachment 468, Iron Mike's Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua, New York, U.S. Army Recruiting, Geneseo Warplane Museum, and the cast and crew at the Military Exchange Talk Show. Listen to our podcast and watch our video show at the Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube and themilitaryexchange.com, our personal website. To contact Corporal Tim Thornton, send an email to themilitaryexchange@gmail.com.
Please stand slow.